Well, you know, I love that music, and it means that I'm going to be talking baseball with Kerry Crowley and probably some original Joes as well. Don't forget, in North Beach tomorrow, of course, there's the brunch every weekend now in North Beach, but special prime rib dinner tomorrow in North Beach, lunch as well. So check it out for Father's Day. Kerry Crowley, Bay Area News Group, how are you?
Marty, I'm doing well. I got to get on John Dugan about getting his pizza spot opened up. That's next in the original Joe's empire.
Oh, it's happening. I talked to John, and he says perhaps September, but it is under construction, and it's going to be fabulous. Fabulous.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. That's in my neighborhood. I love pizza. I need a spot over here. I'm looking forward to the West Portal Original Joe's Pizza spot.
Oh, absolutely. And, of course, I mentioned earlier, Westlake is now open for dining room service as well. So that's happening, too, out at Westlake. So glad to hear that. All right, let's talk a little ball. It's crazy what's going on. Where are we?
I think we're taking steps backward here, Marty.
And, yeah, I think you're right.
You look at the different states where players are training, Arizona, Florida. There's a lot of Major League Baseball players in Texas, California, and the numbers in terms of the coronavirus just continue to spike. And so for weeks, you and I have talked about the labor impasse. We've talked about all the negotiation issues that the players and the owners have. And now it's all coming full circle, and it seems like baseball's greatest obstacle is the one that's always been in front of us, and that is the coronavirus.
Yeah, I think so. I think baseball's, and as I always say on Saturday, I'll tell you next Saturday what's going to happen. I'm not sure, honestly, what the timeline is now for baseball. Do you have a sense of a timeline?
It certainly seems difficult to figure out. With all the facilities closing, it seems like you have to wait at least 2 weeks before you can welcome some of the players who have tested positive back. So do you start spring training 2.0 without them? I'm not sure that that's feasible right now. And so, you know, if you're optimistic and you're looking at a timeline for the start of Major League Baseball in 2020, and if you think the sport's going to happen, maybe July 25th, July 26th is the new opening day. But, you know, with each passing day, Marty, I become more pessimistic about this season. I just don't think that it's possible right now because of the way that we've failed to control the coronavirus.
Boy, it's going to be interesting. You, of course, we know you were furloughed for part of a month or so, and you covered a lot of the protests and things like that. And I want to ask you about Black Lives Matter and your take on how it may impact baseball when we do get back, assuming we get back this summer or even next year. Where do you think the changes will be, if any?
You know, I think that we as a sport and as media members within the sport will be a lot more open to having discussions about race and about how, someone's ethnicity, their upbringing, their perspective can impact their view of the game, can impact their access to the sport at a young age. And I think that the dialogue is going to be a lot more open than it once was, Marty. And that's what's really got me optimistic and hopeful about the Black Lives Matter movement. It's not just something that you're pushing for, as a society, is something that you can go to the ballot box and take an initiative and make sure that equal rights for everyone is something that you hold near dear to your heart. You can also make changes within your own industry, and I think that we're starting to see more Black baseball players speak up and talking about their experience being Black men in this sport. And I think that we're going to start to see more stories come out when baseball does come back, sharing their perspectives and why it's so important, why it's so valuable to hear their perspectives. And it's something that, I'm really looking forward to talking about when baseball does come back.
You think we'll see anything on the level of a Colin Kaepernick type of protest?
I don't. I think that you would be more likely to see that probably in the NFL. I know that there are quarterbacks who are already planning to kneel for the national anthem in the NFL this year. It wouldn't shock me, but I guess I would have I would be a little surprised if we saw widespread protests in baseball. I just think that because of the demographics of the sport, you look at it right now, Marty, it's a lot wider than the other mm-hmm. major professional sports in this country. And so I think that, white people are less likely to kneel for the national anthem right now. They're less likely to go and take a stand at a time like that. You saw Megan Rapinoe do it in women's soccer a few years ago with the national team. But it will be interesting to see, because I know that there are a lot of people, you know, whether they be Gabe Kapler, managers across the sport, Joe Maddon, who are much more willing to talk openly about race right now than they were in the past. But it'll be interesting to see if there will be protests when the sport does come back. And it's something that, you know, whether they happen or not, I'm looking forward to having those conversations with people about why they are or why they are not happening.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Kerry Crowley with us, because you have the national anthem every day. In many places in the seventh inning, you have God Bless America, or, you know, America the Beautiful, whatever they'll play in the seventh inning on weekends and that kind of stuff. So there's a lot of room for things to happen. So we'll see. But I'm glad that I know you've gotten a good look at things, being on the city side as well as baseball. So you're one of the unique journalists that we have in the Bay Area now. Kerry, baseball is talking about all sorts of – they're still negotiating rule changes and stuff like that. Runner on second in the 10th inning, the start of an extra inning, a tie if there's nothing happening after 12 innings. The DH looks like it's coming. How do you feel about all this?
Well, I'm not so sure about the move to put runners on second base in extra innings. I don't know that I can get behind that. It seems like you're artificially enhancing offense, and it seems more like a little league and a high school move to me. I'm not sure that you'd even want to see that at the college level. I know they've tried it in the minor leagues, and the players that we've talked to through the years haven't been big fans of it, because, you know, you can win a game in extra innings without getting a hit or getting someone on base naturally. You know, you can put the player on second, bunt him over, sack fly, and he's in, and he got the winning run across. So that doesn't thrill me. But what I did get excited about was the ties. I think that I am in the vast minority of people who want to see ties in baseball and want to see these games end after 12 innings. I can't stand sitting there waiting for something to happen at 1 in the morning of an 18-inning game knowing that both teams have to play again at noon the next day. It drives me nuts thinking about how, you know, bullpens are going to be impacted the next day, how teams are going to have to reshuffle their pitching rotations just to deal with the fact that neither team could score a run in the 16th or 17th inning. And so I have always been in favor of ties, and I know that I speak for a very, very small group of people when I say that.
Boy, it's going to be that's going to be interesting. Something else that came up this week, which I thought was good, and Andy Baggerly wrote about it, and we've chatted about it off-air, on-air, and Greg Papa and I chatted about it as well, and that is, who runs baseball? I mean, Rob Manfred is, you know, look, you're the labor guy. You know that, with FX and your mother and everyone, you have great labor background. But Manfred is the spokesperson for somebody. Who's he talking for? Is there a group of owners that he really does represent?
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's always a good question, and it's something that's been harder to answer in San Francisco than in other markets because of the way the team is owned. You know, for years, Marty, no one really knew who had the most control of the team until a few years ago it came out that Charles Johnson did, and now it's his son Greg Johnson with Franklin Templeton. And so we kind of have an idea about the Giants, but they also have about 30 owners, people who have stakes in the franchise, whether they be large or small. And, you know, in other markets, there's one person, one family that definitely controls the team and the decision-making. And so it's easier to see how they can sort of say what Rob Manfred does as the commissioner of baseball, because I think that people often forget as a commissioner that he's not working really on behalf of the sport. He's working on behalf of the 30 owners. And so we've seen through these labor negotiations and during the coronavirus pandemic that Manfred doesn't necessarily have baseball's best interest in mind. He has the owner's best interest in mind. And you'd love to say optimistically that those always align, but that's clearly not the case as the owners continue to push for less baseball and continue to push for decreasing the amount of access to the game with the draft. And it's just a shame because, you know, you'd love to be able to say that all 30 owners or all 30 primary owners or control people love baseball, but I'm not even sure that the majority of owners love baseball.
Yeah, I just wonder who's the owner that picks the phone up and says, Rob, nah, don't say that.
Yeah. Artie Moreno, maybe, down in Anaheim.
You know, there used to be Reinsdorf, Walter O'Malley, Steinbrenner. They were powerful people that could get stuff done. It seems to me, I could be wrong, but it seems to me like the power is not centralized with anybody. And that's why he's sort of taking him down this very hard-line labor road.
Yeah, I agree with you there. It's hard to see who's making these decisions, where the decisions are being made, what the impetus behind the decisions are. But, you know, each time the owners leak something or each time a new proposal comes out, it becomes more and more puzzling what their objective is, because we know that they've had record profits for, I want to say, 17 years in a row. The valuation of franchises has gone up by $1 billion over the last 6 years. And these are just people who can't stand the thought of losing a single dollar. And so it's such a shame that what they've done to the sport during the pandemic.
Hey, do you have a favorite piece of memorabilia? That question came up, and I thought I'd ask you that.
Well, that's a really interesting question. You know, I love my glove, but I don't think you would call that memorabilia. I did when I was young and first getting involved in the sport. My parents gave me a signed Willie Mays baseball, and I've had the signed Willie Mays ball on my desk gosh, I want to say 15, 20 years now. I probably go back to when I was 5 or 10 years old getting that Willie Mays ball. And so that's always been with me, regardless of where I've lived, whether it's been San Francisco, you know, out in District 7 or down at Arizona State and Phoenix and Tempe, and now back to San Francisco over the Sunset District in District 4. I've always got the Willie Mays baseball. That's come with me everywhere I've gone, Marty.
Well, that's a good one. That's a good one. We had Katie Wu. We chatted with her. She's going to be on the show tonight. She still thinks you're ducking her in this video game.
Yeah, I haven't had as much time to play video games now that I've been back to work for a while. But I'm furloughed this week, so maybe Katie and I will get the game going. We'll rev up MLB the Show and provide baseball in a world where it seems like there won't be much baseball if it's not virtual.
All right. Hey, I have to mention for the family that my nephew, Leo Miller, he has signed to be a catcher at Florida Tech. Florida,
wow.
And he's a junior in high school, and they signed him. He's going to be a catcher, and he is a catcher, and he's been down to Florida Tech. They're very excited about him. Jeff Tam, you probably don't remember him. He was a former athletic relief pitcher, assistant pitching coach. And Leo Miller, congratulations to Shari and Andrew and Leo and Max and Jody and everyone else who supported him along the way. So I'm glad to mention that. Made me think about it.
Yeah, that's good. You know, Florida college baseball is no joke, Marty. There's a lot of talent coming out of there, so
yeah.
that's a high level to play at.
Yeah, you get seen. Let's put it that way.
So indeed.
And George Contos was his one of his instructors. He took private lessons for a few years from George Contos. So he's a good catcher.
There you go.
He's good size too. All right, Kerry, thanks so much as always. I'm sure the folks are fine, and I miss everybody. And we'll catch up with you next week.
Thanks, Marty. Looking forward to it. Thanks for having me.
All right. That is Kerry Crowley, Bay Area News Group. More coming up right after this on the Sports Leader.